Welcome to Keep Moving Forward, a podcast dedicated to church revitalization, replanting, and the church in general. Each week, we look at issues within the revitalization movement, as well as interview pastors and leaders involved in revitalization. So now, please join us for this week's discussion.
The first episode.
Okay, welcome to Keep Moving Forward. This is, I don't know if I should say the official podcast episode, because I'm here with somebody who hasn't hosted in a while.
It's good to be back.
Okay, so if you don't know that voice, it is
Natalie McKinnon,
my lovely wife, who has taken on the co-hosting duties with me since Eric Malloy, I don't want to say bailed out. That's bad
no,
to say.
More like moved on to a new chapter.
Yeah, moved on. But he'll be around. He's going to be around. And I even know some other things that he hasn't... he has on the back burner, let's say. Anyway, so we are back. So as you know, last episode we explained why the name change, what is going on with that, and I'm going to move my mic. We're using a whole new setup.
Yeah, trying to get used to it.
Yeah, we're using a whole new setup right now. Hopefully it'll work really good.
Hopefully it's clear and everyone can hear us.
Yeah. So we've got a new setup. It actually gives us more relaxation. You know, I will say this, and you know, I don't know if we'd ever go to a studio setup. I've seen a lot of podcasts do the studio setup, which I have nothing wrong with that. I think there's a coolness to that.
Right.
But I don't know if we're the type, like you don't even want us to record on Zoom. Like if I ever have to do an interview on Zoom, you're like, yeah, you're doing it yourself because you don't want to be on camera. So anyway, with that, we are in our first official new setup for...
So this is the official one of the new year, right?
Yes.
Technically,
yes.
Okay.
So we are moving forward.
I like the name. I think it fits perfect for the new chapter that we're in.
Yeah. Especially since a lot of people in revitalization, they know it's a dirty job. And they know that, you know, there's going to be a lot of things. I kind of think of it, I picture it as if you've ever gone mud bogging. I don't
even know what that
so,
is.
So around these parts of New England, there is what we call mud bogging. Now, I don't know what it's called down south or any other parts of the country, but... Usually people have a four-wheel drive truck.
Oh, okay.
And
now I know.
Yeah.
Like if you had just said you get in your truck, like a four-wheel truck, and you go out driving.
No. It's not even that. You're going into areas where, like, it's rained or it's water and the mud is high. So,
oh, yeah.
So you have a truck that's jacked up.
Yeah.
And
no, I get it.
Yeah.
So it's just I didn't recognize it by the name.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of picture, you know, have for a picture of revitalization in a way, because you can get stuck in that mud and you need help, and you know, you just got to keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward. It makes me think of the little red caboose that keeps chugging along.
Oh,
keeps
yes,
going along. And, you know,
children's.
I think I can.
Yeah, children's stuff. It's so much we can...
imagery.
Yeah, so much we can just tag in there. It has been a while. I can't remember the last time you were on the podcast with me.
Oh, my goodness. It was before the holidays.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was like... I don't even think it was around even like October. Maybe... Oh, gosh, it's been a while.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it has been a while. Wow.
Wow, I didn't even realize. Anyway, it's been interesting for us.
Very busy.
Very busy. We've had some shifts going on. I know I came on here and I told a little housekeeping about some of the stuff going on with people in the church. But I really don't know.
Well, did you like update everyone like with our community outreaches that we did at the end of the year?
No, I didn't. Why don't you do that?
So, as some of our listeners know, our town does a community event called Chain of Lights. And of course, because of COVID, we weren't able to do it in 2020. And then they did do it in 2021, but they let us know a little bit too late. So as much as we didn't want to not participate, it was just too rushed and we didn't have enough people, enough hands on deck kind of thing. You know, and everything happens for a reason and everything. And so we prayed and we were determined this was the year that we were going to do it and everything.
Yep.
And it was tough because, you know, Chain of Lights, whatever funds we raise goes directly back into Chain of Lights for the community event so that we put it on, you know, resources, food, raffles, whatever we're doing, games, whatever we're planning for that year. And we didn't have any funds for that.
Right.
And then some churches were very generous and they gave us funds and everything. So we were able to do it, more than enough funds. Right. Basically. And then also we were really praying and asking the Lord for more hands on deck because some of our people had moved away and, you know,
others left.
So we were like, you know, okay, you know, God's gonna provide all the details. You know, whenever you do a big outreach, you always overthink things. You always are like, oh my goodness, what about this? And what about this? And every time we do it, God brings all the pieces on the game board together.
Yeah.
So the resources financially were provided, and then our daughter church was able to provide some people, and then our mentors, Jeff and Laura, their church, people from their church came out and helped. So we had probably between, I'd say, 12 and 15 people that were extra besides our people.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing was because we hadn't done it for 2 years and it was rainy that day, it was just a yucky day. But what else are people gonna do when it's raining outside?
Well, also we gotta add that. We've done food in the past, but this was the first time we really kicked back on having our food permit. Right. And we provided,
like, a lunch.
Yeah, we provided hot soups,
yes,
which was perfect for the weather. And so we had a delicious, I will say this, we had a very delicious Polish potato soup.
I didn't even get any of that.
I know. You're gonna want to kick me under the desk, but I had two cups of that. I had two cups of that because I just loved it. I had a cup of our own soup that you and I, the Scottish chicken soup, kokaliki. If you're adapted to it, kokaliki. It's
was one of the most popular ones.
That was the one that I was told by the kitchen crew that they actually had to water down, not once but twice, to provide enough for the people.
Because people were just like, oh my God, this is so good. And then there was an Indian soup,
which I didn't get any of.
I don't do hot, like hot.
But what I was told by the people of our church that tried it, I was told it wasn't that hot.
Yeah.
So,
it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. But, you know, the whole thing was because we hadn't done it for 2 years and the weather, we were like, are we going to have a good turnout? And I think we had, I was like, between 400 and 500 people come through.
Yeah, we had a good turnout.
Like,
I think it was between 350 and 400, if we're honest. But the thing is I will say this. Now, then the next week, which we always do back to back, which it's Christmas, you're doing a lot, you know, everybody expects this. So our back to back, we do the family movie night or festive family film night. And we had our biggest turnout for that.
40,
we had about
50?
Yeah, 50, it was between 40 and 50 people that came out. Now we did that. We did, and we changed that up this year. We did that in our fellowship hall versus the sanctuary, and I think that just really was a home run.
Yep, and we did the hot chocolate bar again. Like that's one of the things we do for Chain of Lights, but everyone loves it so much. We did it at our movie night too.
Yes, and that was huge. Like the kids were just. Over there, getting that, getting the snacks. It was good.
But the other thing too with Festive Family, I mean Chain of Lights, was our daughter church, the one that came out to help. They helped us do an evangelism table.
Yep.
Which was really awesome. I forget what it's called. I can't remember the name of it.
A solitarium, I believe,
okay.
was what they
so
called it.
So basically, in simple terms. They have these big posters, and on these posters, I think they had like two or three of these like big poster boards, and on these poster boards were various pictures of all kinds. So you might have a tree, you might have like a winding road, you might have like people sitting at a table, you might have a stack of money, like all different random
pictures.
And the whole point of it is helping people feel more comfortable starting a gospel conversation. So they came, when we had started talking to their church and saying, would you guys be willing to come and help us? And then they told us that we wanted to up our evangelism to really, you know, have some kind of fruit from this community outreach. So they had told us about it, and we loved the idea, so now I think we could do our own board, or we could get one from where they got theirs. But the whole point is to help people have a more comfortable feeling, especially if you're a new believer, and you're trying to find a way to just start a conversation with somebody.
Right.
Because that's difficult for some people. So someone would walk by the table and they'd be like, oh, what's this? And the person behind the table would be like, oh, is there a photo that's like really jumps out at you or speaks to you where you are in your life? And it got a lot of good conversation going. So then the person would be like, oh yeah, I really could relate to that picture or something.
Right.
And, then it opened up the opportunity in the door. For now, that person that was standing behind the table to have a gospel conversation.
Right.
You know, so it really, our people were very intrigued by it, I think. It really kind of opened their eyes to say there's other ways to evangelize. Because we know not, like, we're all called to evangelize, but we don't all have the gifts of evangelism.
Right. And I think for a lot of people, they look at that, they listen to that, and they're like, oh, and the thing is that if we understand in Ephesians 4 that the gifts, you know, that God has specific people in the church, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, that those are considered spiritual gifts as
right.
it is.
Right.
And so I think like the more common way of saying it is that everyone is called to evangelize, but not everyone is an evangelist.
Right.
Meaning that the evangelist has a special skill set, a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I would almost say that like that evangelist is going to be the guy that's like Billy Graham that can, you know, lead a crusade, or a guy like our friend Tom who is out on the street corner.
Yep.
Preaching the gospel,
yep.
Without abandon. There are people who are like that, mm-hmm. and I think that's the thing. Like those people have a gift of evangelism,
right?
Whereas everyone is called to evangelize, and it's sharing in different ways. And there's, you know, we could have a whole episode on that.
Yeah. but I think it was definitely a success. You know, we had a lot of gospel conversations. We were able to talk to people within the community.
Yep.
You know, it just kind of, we had people asking about the service and the church and stuff like that. So it definitely was a good, and some of our people hadn't volunteered as part of it before.
Right.
So that was their first year helping us, you know, one of our families, that was their first year helping us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really cool experience for them. So, and then we had Christmas Eve service and Christmas service.
Yeah,
and
we had it. It was kind of interesting because, of course, we had the whole debate going on. Not just here. I mean, I know you're sitting there, but like nationally, that was like the debate of the year. Do you have one? Do you have both?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And we did both. And yes, Christmas Day was a low turnout.
I think we actually had more people on Christmas Eve than we did Christmas, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And
that was the thing.
It was able to give opportunities so that if somebody could come to one, but they couldn't come to the other.
Right.
You know, so it was a good thing, you know.
So we did that, and we had, you know, we had a low turnout, I think, per se, what we expected. I mean, we're a church of about 25 to 30 people. We had 30 show up, but that includes guests. But we also have to remember, and I think that's where a lot of people in revitalization, you got to remember, when it comes to the holiday like that, like Christmas, people are traveling. So I think, like I've always looked at it, I know there are people out there that are going to say, oh, you said holiday, you're not being Christian. No, I understand holiday has a nomenclature that even the secular world is trying to get rid of, because mm-hmm. holiday means holy day.
Yep.
And I look at it as Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's as the holidays, because that's that 1 month period.
Yep.
And, you know, you're going to have people traveling, and so you shouldn't look at it like, oh.
Right. God did what God did.
Right.
You know? Trying to think of some, we're still, doing our learning center.
Yep.
You know, it's just a slow process of, you know, kind of getting the word out there kind of thing. But we have had some families from the learning center start attending the church.
Yep.
So, you know, we're seeing a little bit of fruit from that.
Yep.
And everything, you know, so, that's encouraging to know that that's, you know, fruit that's coming from that
too. It is. I mean, it's been, I mean, if we're honest, we haven't really, it's been a tough season for our church. We, I mean, this is basically, I didn't even realize that this housekeeping was basically going to become an episode in and of itself. But I will say this, you know, it's been a tough season. We had a person leave our church that, we have since found out, and we're going to use this for the next episode, which we're going to talk about a vetting process. But this person left and did a lot of damage, and so it's been tough. And we even had one of our trustees tell us that he didn't know if we were going to be able to make it through the winter. And by God's grace and the love of our sister churches and stuff, and the giving that we've had, we're making it. We have money, but we still got to do stuff. So there's going to be a couple of episodes where we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we're doing mm-hmm. to bring people in. So that's been the whole thing. And, you know, that's part of the process, I think.
Right.
I think maybe it was you or somebody. It was you, I think, that said this or suggested this. But that we have, COVID kind of derailed a lot of things. And for us, we kind of think it derailed us from having that bad season, mm-hmm. If you will. Like, if you're in revitalization, you talk about how you have... The the honeymoon period, the good years, the bad years, and then everything starts to really take off from there. And
yeah.
It seems like we're in the bad years right now, but you know, we're going to see where God goes with this. There's a lot of stuff going on here. We won't get too deep into that, but our next episode is going to be about a vetting process. We want to talk about vetting processes and how that goes, how we need to have strong vetting processes to be able to move forward. So with that, I'm going to sign off for both of us. This is Don McKinnon and Natalie McKinnon of Legacy Church in Sutton, Massachusetts, telling you to just keep moving forward.